Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Testing the Experts.
Hello, and welcome to Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory, where we're accurate, rapid, and consistent. I'm Tracy McDaniel, alongside Wes Warrington, my co-host for the show. We have David Silverstein joining us. David is our very own ND toxicologist at Confirmatrix. Besides having David, there is a studio full of the Warrington family and some other guests. Wes, would you like to go ahead and introduce your crew?
I would. I have my twin daughters, Kelsey and Carrie Warrington, and Kelsey's fiance, Taylor Garner, and Carrie's boyfriend, Cody Berger, are up from Nashville. They're going to talk to us a little bit today about some of their mission work and a charity they support in the Dominican Republic. You guys are here.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
And his wife is behind him as well. Let's not forget that. Marianne, thanks for coming back.
She is here. Thank you, Tracy.
All right. Well, before we start with everything, I just like to do a little check-in with Wes and ask him, you know, how are things going at Confirmatrix and what's the latest going on there?
Thank you, Tracy. We had another big week at Confirmatrix. Those of you that have been in Atlanta know we've had awful weather. Snow in Atlanta is catastrophic. The city shuts down. So we had a couple of days in there where FedEx and UPS didn't run, which really puts us behind. My team came together last week, led by Dr. Silverstein, and last weekend, and we worked, 24/7 last weekend to get caught up, to keep the results out to the physicians and their patients. So we got caught up. We had a record-breaking week in terms of volume. We're growing customers, still improving the methods, the tests we deliver, the results, the accuracy, all the things that we have started our company with, we're continuing to develop. We've had another big development over the last few days. Our sister company, Alpha Genomics, is really getting finally opened. We've been open for a few weeks now, but we're starting to gain traction there. Alpha Genomics is a pharmacogenetic testing company. On simple terms, we have the ability to evaluate a person's genetics and determine how they process certain medications within the liver. So what that information will provide for the patient is you can determine which drug within a class of drugs would work best for the patient and at what dose. In society today, there's over 120 million Americans that die from adverse drug events on a yearly basis. It's the fourth leading cause of death, and that's just prescription drugs. That doesn't include illicits. With pharmacogenetic testing, we can eliminate up to 80 to 90% of those unnecessary deaths. So we're really excited about that new company and the value it brings to patients and physicians, and we've created another stellar service similar to Confirmatrix. We've learned from the mistakes we made at Confirmatrix and repeating some of the great things we've done at Confirmatrix. I'm really excited to introduce Alpha Genomics. If anybody's interested in looking at our website, it's alphagenomics.com, and that's G-E-N-O-M-I-X.com. So, Tracy, with that being said, that was a mouthful. I'm really excited today to have Dr. Silverstein, David, a good friend, colleague, really changed the face of our business at Confirmatrix. He is the primary liaison with customers when issues arise with test results or understanding what results mean, what drugs are counter or cross-sensitive. David has done a very good job of being the face of our company to our customers. David has 15 years clinical experience as a trauma surgeon and critical care physician. He earned his Doctor of Medicine degree from Rutgers, New Jersey Medical School, and a Bachelor's of Art in Cell and Developmental Biology from the University of Pennsylvania. So David, in addition to being our toxicologist and medical review officer, is a trauma surgeon by trade. So David, welcome today. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks, Wes. It's great to be here.
And David has also been a co-host on the show with me once, so he's not new to the mic, but we're going to put him on the spot today and ask him a little bit about himself. But first off, we'll get into that, and we'll say, you know, David, we have a brief bio on you, but, you know, tell us about your work at Confirmatrix and, you know, how the road led you to Confirmatrix.
Sure, Tracy. So as Wes mentioned, I'm a trauma surgeon and critical care physician by trade. And when I left that practice, I got involved in the area of drug addiction and treatment centers. And that's really been my interest for several years. And I've worked at other toxicology labs. I came to ConfirmMatrix because of the need that they had, and we discussed my role there, which specifically, as Wes mentioned, I'm the clinical liaison of the laboratory to our clients, specifically our physicians and our practitioners who take care of the patients that we serve. What we do at ConfirmMatrix, as you know, is toxicological evaluation of urine for the presence of drugs. And that is for pain clinics to monitor compliance and also for treatment centers to monitor abstinence. So one of the things that I do is I review the results and, you know, having the toxicology experience and the ability to analyze, to look at the data, analyze it myself, and then correlate it with the clinical picture, I think is a great asset that we provide our clients, and I'm able to help them with interpreting their lab results, because a lot of our it's not just a matter of testing for a certain drug. We test for the drug and their metabolites, which gives us more information. And in addition to drugs of abuse and things like alcohol, metabolites, and so forth.
David, let me ask you a question there. When I first started in toxicology, I thought that we do liquid chromatography / mass spectrometry. I literally thought that you place specimen in the machine, a nice clean result came out of the other end, much like a fax machine, and that's the farthest thing from the truth. Talk a little bit about the intricacies of LCMS.
Sure. So what we do at the lab is basically the state-of-the-art methods for testing and quantitating these drugs. We use high-performance liquid chromatography and tandem mass spectrometry. Now, what that means is that we do get the samples. We have to prepare the samples in a certain way so that when we test each sample, we're actually testing for the drug and not for other things that might be in the urine. So it goes through a column in the chromatography, which separates the drugs out from each other, and then it gets sent into the mass spectrometer, which basically measures the mass of each individual chemical very accurately into a very sensitive low-level cutoff. And it can distinguish incredible numbers of chemicals. We also have instrumentation that we can actually take an unknown chemical, put it through there, and it will tell us what it is. So the technology and the sophistication of the equipment that we use is incredible. So we do confirmation testing. In other words, this is not putting urine in a cup and reading, a line like you might see in a pregnancy test. We're actually measuring the amount of drug in a sample. And as Wes mentioned, after that gets run through the machine, then we need sophisticated software to translate that data, that raw data that comes out, into what we call chromatograms, which are basically graphs that show us, you know, peaks of where the drugs are. We have a pretty big staff at ConfirmMatrix that then analyzes the data, results the data, and then sends it out to our clients. And one of the major roles that I play also is reviewing this data before it goes out and kind of being the detective, figuring out what's going on with the patient in some cases. I have some stories behind that if you want to hear them. But
So, David, you talked about how we get our results, the complexities of it, and we've designed a system that's very unique and almost proprietary. We do it a little differently than the other labs. Explain how that information is used by a pain physician and then and to monitor compliance as well as abstinence, and then the same thing for the treatment center side.
Oh, sure. So if you're a patient at a pain clinic, chances are you're being prescribed pain medication for chronic pain. And the medications that are used are frequently opiates or opiate-like substances, benzodiazepines, sedatives, different types of medications that have some inherent risk to them in that they can be addicting and they can have adverse effects if too much is taken. So what the physicians do is they test their patients for compliance, and we get those specimens and we can look and see what they're taking and whether their urine shows whether they are taking it or not. As I mentioned, we don't just look for a parent drug. We look for the metabolites. And unfortunately, some of the patients that are on pain medications chronically become addicted to them and start behaving like patients who have addiction issues. And so one of the things, for example, patients are known to take a pill, shave a little bit into their urine to make it look like they're taking it. But when we see it, all we see is the parent drug, and we see no metabolites. So we're very instrumental in helping our clients and our physicians kind of tease that piece of it out and let them know whether they are compliant or not, whether the metabolites are there, whether it looks like they're spiking their urine, and basically help them and their patients. As far as the treatment centers go, it's quite the opposite, except for the fact that some of them do get prescribed medications. So generally speaking, if you're at an addiction center, you're supposed to be not using drugs or drinking alcohol. So what they're being monitored for is abstinence. And again, in those cases, when we see somebody come up with a positive metabolite, for example, from cocaine or heroin, we can detect that, report it to the clinic, and they can take care of their patients.
And David, when you mentioned metabolites, it's not a common word to some. And so what that actually means, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that you take the parent drug, and then as it travels through the body, it breaks down into different drugs. And so those are the metabolites of the drug.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So when we're testing for a drug, you know, the patient is prescribed a parent drug, and then, you know, give us an example of what a parent drug might be that is common, and then how does it break down throughout the body?
Sure. Well, one of the most commonly prescribed pain medications is hydrocodone, and it comes in a number of brand names like Vicodin or Lortab, which a lot of people are more familiar with. So hydrocodone is an opiate derivative, and it is metabolized in the body to a number of different other chemicals by the liver, and in our lab, we measure three of those chemicals so that we can tell. Because what we're seeing in the urine is we're not actually seeing what's in their blood or whether they're being therapeutically monitored or not, but we can see what they've taken. And so when we measure those metabolites, in addition to the parent drug, we can tell that it actually went into their mouth, into their stomach, and got metabolized by their body before getting excreted, versus taking a pill, scraping it, and only seeing the hydrocodone and none of the metabolites.
Great. It also increases the drug detection window, which is nice for us to be able to test for longer and get a clear picture.
And that's absolutely correct. For alcohol, for example, only stays in the blood for 8 to 12 hours, or in the urine for that matter, but we can detect its metabolites. It breaks down into two metabolites that we test for. One's called ethylglucuronide and ethyl sulfate. And those stay in the blood. The ethyl sulfate stays in the urine for up to 3 days, and the ethyl glucuronide stays in the urine for up to 5 days. So we can tell if someone had alcohol up to 5 days after they've consumed it.
That's great. So, David, we've talked quite a bit about drugs of abuse and alcohol. We've also found at ConfirmMatrix that there's a tremendous polypharmacy issue across the United States today. Can you speak to that from your end?
Oh, absolutely. So many patients, especially as they get older, and of course we have we're in the age now where all the baby boomers are hitting that age where they're seeing their doctors and they're on medications. And frequently a new patient will come into the office and you ask what medications they're on, and they have a bag filled with about 20 different bottles of pills. So one of the things that we do is we test for a number of other drugs, not just these ones that I've mentioned, but we test for routine medications that patients take, including prescribed medications, including over-the-counter medications like acetaminophen and aspirin and Sudafed and things like that. And one of the products that we offer is the ability for a physician in a family practice or in a private practice to test his patients for a whole array of medications that they may be on, to see what they're on, to see if they're being compliant, and to see if there's something that they're not aware of that they're taking. We also look at some over-the-counter herbal supplements. So we have a tremendous number of things that we test for. Also on the drug abuse side, we test for a large array of designer drugs, which are these bath salts and spice and things like that that we hear in the news all the time, where people are taking these medications and going crazy and, you know, making themselves newsworthy.
Which we're hearing about more frequently. I know on the way over, David had mentioned that there was a new story that you had to, you know, read because there was something else going on with these synthetics and the bath salts. And are you finding, you know, and how are, I know that we're finding this and I know that we're hearing about it, but how are we keeping up with that as a lab?
Well, first of all, we stay current with the literature. And we stay current with current events because frequently the first thing that we'll see is an article in USA Today about some flesh-eating homemade drug of abuse coming from Russia or something like that. We are able to one of the things that our lab does really well is getting a request for testing a certain drug. And we can – if we're able to obtain the drug, we can develop the method and test for it. So we keep current with what's out there. We continue to add new drugs. For example, we just added kratom, which is a synthetic it's not synthetic. It's actually a natural plant product which has opiate-like effects that are now being abused by – or used and abused by a number of people. It's perfectly legal. You can get it off the internet. But we test for it now. So and there are a number of other things that we're in the process of developing right now.
Okay, and I just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Testing the Experts presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory, where we're accurate, rapid, and consistent. I have Dr. Silverstein here with us, and we call him David at the lab. He doesn't really boast on the doctor side of it, which is one of the things that we just love about David, is that he is very humble in his work at Confirmatrix and where he's come from and his studies, and we've said what a great asset he is, and I do want to brag about him for a minute, and it's one of the things that makes Confirmatrix, you know, the best, better than the other. You know, it's easy to say, oh, we're better than our competitors, but how are we better? I got an email from one of our sales reps here, and one of the huge facets of Confirmatrix is that, yes, we are a lab, but we also have sales reps, and we have a team of people that keep us going. So from the sales rep side of it, one of our reps came, and, you know, we have this email saying, Dr. David is outstanding in my opinion and to many of my clients who have spoken to him. He is very relatable and takes the time to thoroughly make sure everything is understood. No one ever walks away not knowing what he was talking about, as with other toxicologists. Dr. David is one of the best assets in my opinion. He has been my savior with some of the questions I can't answer. I love how compassionate he is to the people's needs and gets into the mindsets of the treatment centers. I was very touched today when speaking to him, and he knew almost all of my centers. He told me today that each sample is a person. It's not just a number. And I know that makes me more confident in the results as it will for the treatment centers. He never minds simple questions a center may have since he knows the seriousness that these results have on the clients and their sobriety. She says, I could honestly go on and on because I think he is an absolutely wonderful asset. And that's how we feel about David. And I think he's blushing a little bit too, but he does a great job for us, and we can't say enough. You know, we love being able to bring you in and highlight you and say thank you. So it's a pleasure to work with you, and we know you're just passionate about what you do. So it makes us passionate about, you know, what we're doing, and you're easy to follow. He goes into the lab, and he's just a breath of fresh air. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tracy.
Yep.
And let me just say that I love working at Confirmatrix. It's fulfilling not only on a professional level, but on a personal level. And I really appreciate the people I work with.
Good. We're very blessed. And, you know, Wes is here with his family, and, you know, it is a family atmosphere. And one of the things that we make sure, and we thrive at Confirmatrix, and we say it, and I think the thing that's different about us is that we practice what we preach, you know, and things like this, you know, letters that we get from the sales team and, you know, just the different members on our team make us different. So, you know, David's here with us today, and I think I'm going to turn it over to Wes, and I know we're going to put his family on the spot a little bit. So we will let him do that now.
Great. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, David. So, guys, I want to just remind you that we have Kelsey and Carrie Warrington and Taylor Garner and Cody Berger. They come to us from Nashville today, and they're going to talk a little bit about their experience with our church in Franklin, Grace Chapel, and the mission work they've done through the church at the Dominican Republic. First, why don't you guys take a minute, introduce yourself, and tell us a little bit about you, just whatever facts come to mind. And Kelsey, we'll start with you.
I'm Kelsey Warrington, and I'm in school in Williamson College, Williamson Christian College. My degree is going to be ministry leadership, hopefully something that will help me with the mission trips I plan to go on in the future. And I tutor, that's my job. I tutor in math at Grace Christian Academy, and that's about it.
How old are you, Kelsey?
I'm 20.
Good. Welcome. Taylor, how about you?
I'm Taylor Garner. I will be 22 next week. I currently work at our church, Grace Chapel in Franklin. Started at the bottom on the staff and trying to get into the youth ministry and then work my way into the mission field. So that's going good. It's been going for about 9 months now, and all is well.
Good. Thank you, Taylor.
Hello. My name is Cody Berger. I am 21 years old. I am currently a culinary arts major, and just recently moved back to Nashville and currently an intern at a local hotel. My father is the senior pastor of Grace Chapel, and so you can only imagine how, I guess, I'm involved with this whole missionary stuff. But, yeah, that's pretty much me.
That's great. Well, we're really glad to have you guys with us. And which one of you would like to explain a little bit about your mission work in the Dominican? Kelsey, why don't you give it a shot?
Okay, our church and partnered with SCORE International, and we have a boys' home in the Dominican Republic, and right now there's two houses with about 8 boys in each, and they call it a boys' home because they want it to be different from an orphanage, whereas like an orphanage would be a lot of kids, and they want to give it a Christ-centered family feel, so they're limiting it to 8 boys per home. They're in the process of building 2 more, so they'll eventually have 32 boys there. It's like in a gated community kind of thing in the Dominican, and they're really just trying to teach them. Like, they're putting them all the boys in school, and the boys that are there are either boys who don't have parents or whose parents couldn't afford to take care of them. So it's kind of hard, especially for the kids who have parents and their parents just couldn't afford to take care of them because they have that struggle of wanting to be back with their parents. But the parents that are their house parents at each home, and some of them are local to the Dominican Republic, but one of the house parents of the boys' home was actually a couple that went to our church, and they moved down there full-time to be house parents. And
good. That's great. I've spent a couple weeks in the Dominican with these guys, and we don't realize, we forget how blessed we are in the United States and the luxuries that we take for granted on a daily basis. It was an eye-opening experience, and it makes me really proud that my children and my future son-in-laws have such an interest in helping others that are not so fortunate. So I'm proud of you guys.
Thank you.
Cody, Taylor, why don't you guys share a little bit about, you know, what makes these homes, Josiah's house, so special to you?
I think a few things that stand out to me a whole lot about these homes is that the parents that are taking care of these boys are Christ-centered families and have raised many kids themselves. And I think it is a great influence on these younger kids who weren't fortunate enough to have the best examples of parents. And they do an amazing job of raising these kids, aging from, I think, 5 to like 12 or 13, something like that. And I mean, you can only imagine having, you know, like almost 10 kids from those ranges running around everywhere. And these parents just do a great job of just being very Christ-like and setting a great example and educating these kids, not only in school, but also just biblically. And that's one thing that really stands out to me.
The boys there, they really, you know, you go down there expecting, I guess the first time, you go down there expecting to just help out and be a light to those boys at the house and the people you come across in the villages out there. And I think 100% of the people that go down there with that goal come back feeling like they've been blessed more than the people that they've gone down there and helped. And I know for me, those boys at Josiah's house, they really, you know, there's constant joy, and it's just, you would think that they were raised from birth together, the way they, you know, get along and then, you know, playfully fight like brothers. And they just show you, you know, how to have a relationship, you know, without distractions, without, you know, even just like materialistic distractions, but just loving each other for who they are. And I don't know, you know, these boys, they'll be 4 months out of a village where they're searching for food in the trash without any parents. And then they'll go with a group to the village and be ready to help out kids that were in the exact situation that that they were in just months prior. And it's just a really eye-opening experience.
There's a special village in the Dominican that you guys have connected with. Taylor, you want to share a little bit about that story?
Yeah, one of the villages that we do a lot of work at is called Olivares. It's not much. It's just a bunch of, you know, huts with dirt grounds, nothing special. There's a few little, I guess you could say, marketplaces throughout the one main drag. There's so many kids there. You know, a lot of kids per parent. And those kids, the boys love to play baseball. They have a baseball field there. You go out and there'll be scouts watching all the little kids play baseball. They have, you know, some good players that come out of there. I guess it's kind of weird, but you go down there and you get like a family feel of like even more than a small town where everybody knows everybody. Like there's a lady in the very back, runs a garden. She's like, I would say like the mother of the village, and super nice lady. This past summer when we went down, we helped out with a VBS, and I don't know, you could count on probably two hands how many people would go to church every Sunday before we came down there that week. And then ever since then, every Sunday, it's constantly been packed full, probably of, 100 people constantly. And yeah, I mean, we just go down there and help out, pass out groceries, paint their houses, ask them what they need, and we try our best to help them out.
One of the things that I noticed on my short trip down was the peace and happiness that these people carry. They have no idea that they don't have the luxuries that we deem necessary on a daily basis. And we in this country, you know, you see people riding down the road having road rage, and I'm guilty of it as well. You just take these things for granted, and you go over and you see these people where there's kids in the trash dump looking for food, and they're looking for clothing and not dressed, but they have the biggest smile and the whitest teeth you can imagine, just glowing with joy. It's definitely an experience. Josiah's House website is josiahshouse.net, and that's josiahshouse.net. If you want to visit, learn more about Josiah's House and their work there in the Dominican Republic, you can. You can also donate online there. So, Cody, why don't you share a little bit about Grace Chapel and kind of what we're doing there at Grace? It's our church personally. My wife and I joined there several years back. What led us there was our daughters started going there and saw the good things that were going on. Marianne and I attended a service for the first time, and it was clear to us the Spirit moved there on a daily basis, and there were true believers there. It's a biblically-based church, non-denominational, and we found a home there. We really love that church, and they're doing such good things in the community. Either one of you guys, Cody, maybe you share a little bit about what Grace Chapel is doing. I know it's special to you, so it's almost difficult to say what it means to you because his parents are the founders and Cody's grown up in this church, but why don't you speak about it a bit?
Yeah, I think what stands out a lot about our church is we're not only focusing on perhaps stuff that's happening in our community by bringing everybody together that immediately surrounds us, but also, like we've been talking about, we have Josiah's House in the Dominican Republic, and we're also doing a lot of work in the South Sudan. And we try to get people down there at least once a year, maybe twice a year. There's a group that will go down there and help build churches or possibly go down there for people who are in need of medical help. And so those are pretty much our two big focuses right there. And I know in the future we're wanting to get more involved with India perhaps, and just moving globally. You know, it's not just we're not just focusing on the people that are coming to church, but we're trying to incorporate many other people from all over the world and continue to bless them and share Jesus with them.
Okay, I'm just going to state the obvious. I'm sitting across from young 20-year-olds, all right? And I think what normally young 20-year-olds in college are doing, it's not this. So my question is, you know, how do you suggest that people can get involved in this, especially at your age? And then also speaking from a personal experience, what was your personal calling to say, this is what I need to do, and this is how I'm going to make a difference? I mean, how do you, you know, at what age and what background? I mean, where does it come from, I guess?
Well, I think what it comes from is someone who is wanting change in their life and wanting to think and get outside of the box, you know, because where we're from, we lived in a very blessed, awesome community. But I feel like a lot of people still, you know, they have everything that they could possibly imagine for, but they're seeking more. And perhaps they want to bless others less fortunate. And I believe that's just something, like, one way to get involved is to, like, either visit our church website or visit Josiah's House website and possibly try to go down to the Dominican Republic or just help serving other people, you know. And I think you can't really force someone to want to do that. You know, I think if you're going to go out and do something like that, you have to be emotionally prepared, you know, and because you want to fully get something out of it. It's nothing that someone could just make you go do. But I think it's a great eye-opening experience, and it makes you realize truly how blessed we are in, you know, in America as a whole. And I think just one way to get involved is, as Wes stated earlier, you can visit the church website or just Josiah's House website for a little further information if you are wanting to seek and help others in need.
Okay. Are there any individual stories you guys have about why you became a part of this?
I can't think of one specific situation, but I know that kind of the key to life change, I guess, for me was when me and my sister started going to Grace Chapel. And just, it's really, I think the key is surrounding yourself with like-minded people and surrounding yourself with people who live their life to serve and help others. And once you are around them, it kind of rubs off on you and you want to know more about what that lifestyle is. And when I went to the Dominican Republic the first time, my heart behind it really wasn't, it was with our youth group. So I thought it would, I mean, a great opportunity and it would be fun, honestly. And it just, I didn't really know what to expect. But then it's once you go down there and you realize what not only you can give to those people, but what you get when you go down there. It is such a blessing. And I think, yeah, being around it is really what changed my life and how I want to live it.
Great. Do you have anything to add?
For me, my first trip to the Dominican was just like, you know, a life-changing trip for me. Before that, I was raised in a Christian family, raised in a church, went to a Christian school my whole life. But I call myself a Christian, but never walk out my faith. And then my dad's friends with Cody's dad, the pastor. So we got invited to go down for the dedication of Josiah's house. And for me, it was just, you know, a week off and just going out and helping people, nothing much else. But I get down there, you know, just expecting that. And I don't know, after hanging out with those kids, you know, like you said, like we're 20 years old or whatever. You know, it's pretty rare for us to be where we are spiritually and everything. And, you know, the week before that trip, I was, you know, a partier, everything bad. Didn't surround myself with the right people, but coming out of that trip, you know, it was easy for me to eliminate the people that I wasn't supposed to be around. I got to, you know, replace those people with these people and a few other friends. And that's when I actually started to walk my faith out in Christ. And I don't know, just that those people and the joy, like he was saying, the joy you see on their face, like they're digging for food, but then you show up just to hang out with them, and it's like they just got told they're going to Disney World or something. Like they're just so ecstatic all the time. It's just like a all-around life-changing experience for me. And you know, God, you know, made put missions as a heavy thing on my heart, and I know that that's what, you know, I'm going to be about most of my life. So, yeah, it played a big part of my life.
All right. Yep, that's exactly kind of where I was going with it, because you can feel the passion that you have for it, and it's so interesting to see. I mean, you hear about, you know, oh, yeah, I attend church. Okay, mm-hmm. That's one thing. But then when it is I attend church and I have a, you know, this calling, I'm going to go to the – and for you, you started it out and, you know, you were going on a mission trip, you know, yeah. And you were going for fun, you know, and it ends up being so much more. And so many people that I hear that they go on these mission trips and they say, well, you know, I was just going. You know, my friends were going and we were going to go, you know, hang out and have a good time. And they come back and they're like, that experience I can't even put into words. You know, they try and they, you know, are moved by it in a way that, you know, they're like, we can't even explain it to you, you know, until you go and you experience it. And it's just amazing. When I was coaching soccer, a lot of my teammates, my girls would go and mm-hmm. they'd come back and just the feeling and the fire they had, and they couldn't wait to go back. And it wasn't like when you go on a trip and you're rejuvenated a week after and you're like, oh, it was the best thing ever. I mean, they were literally planning for the next one, and they were all, you know, year long, they're trying to figure out, okay, what can we do? Because we want to raise money, or we want to do this, you know, what difference can we make? And they made it their mission at a young age, you know. And it's amazing what, you know, age really doesn't matter when you're passionate about something. And so I see that in you guys, and it's very renewing. And I hope that I have little ones, you know, but it's like trying to figure out, how do you bottle that and how do you teach that? And I think at some point you have to have a family structure and you have to surround yourself. That was, you know, beautiful. You said you have to surround yourself with the right people. And I think when you find that and you find the foundation and the great group of people that you're around, you know, I think it's beautiful that you guys are able to do this and you're very passionate about it. And not in a gimme sort of way. You're like, I'm gonna do what I, you know, I'm saying I'm gonna do. So I definitely think you're able to make a difference. So thanks.
Thank you.
Good. Yep. Thank you. So I would like to close with a couple of remarks, and then we'll let Tracy wrap up the show. For those of you that didn't know how blessed I was, you now do. Wonderful family, wonderful children. My wife contributed greatly to their success and where they are today. And a wonderful business filled with colleagues and, more importantly, friends. So I guess the show today has inspired me to issue a challenge to not only the people in this room, but the listeners. I'm assuming there's millions of you out there. Find a way this weekend to serve someone else. And watch for two things. Watch for the surprise on that person's face when they realize you did something for them without expecting something in return. And secondly, evaluate how you feel afterwards and make a decision how you want to move forward. So thank you guys all for being here. Tracy, I'll let you wrap it up.
All right. I always say you present a challenge, but you always have to have a call to action. So there's the call to action. All right. Well, thank you, Wes. And you've been listening to Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory. Remember that our show airs live every Friday at 1 o'clock on Business Radio X. If you miss our live broadcast, you can listen to any of our shows anytime at 24/7 by visiting testingtheexperts.businessradiox.com. For my co-host, Wes, I'm Tracy McDaniel, and this has been Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory.